turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Let's ask God's blessing this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meditate in your word. Lord, to consider what you've said, to apply it to our lives, to grow up into you in all things. Father, I pray that you would bless and guide and speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to read the first 28 verses of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. Yea, they judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn mine hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Like the fall of man, this would affect them nationally. In Romans 5:12, it says, Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. all pain and suffering, death, disease, sin, injustice, even old age, all are from the fall. Turn to Psalm 137. Israel was ripe for judgment. Israel received her judgment. Psalm 137, we hear the sighs of a broken people. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. A broken people. Can you imagine what these people had been through? I want to talk to broken people this morning. These people, their pride, their confidence, their security, their whole life was shattered. They wondered why the world had to keep on turning. There's no way that we can enter into the brokenness of this people. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I want to submit to you this morning that there is one cure for all of these. It's the same cure, and it's the only hope. A number of years ago, someone gave me a book. It was called The Cure for All Cancers. Pretty thick book. I thought, that's interesting. But as I read the book, my opinion is that the woman was a quack. She said there was, I think it was 100 case histories that proved the situation. So I read the case histories. All you gotta do is read the case histories to realize there's something wrong here. So the case histories go like this. This guy came to her. He had cancer. She did her little gadgets and whatnot and decided that his problem was due to rubbing alcohol. And since people who make cornflakes wash their utensils with rubbing alcohol, he needed to stop eating cornflakes, which he had ate all of his life. And so, after this meeting, he left. I think he had come back one more time for another checkup, and then he never came back. So, the fact that he never came back proves that it worked. The fact that he never came back again, that was the last she saw him, that was the case history, and suddenly that means that it must have worked. No, it could have meant that he died. Okay, it could have meant that he thought she was a quack and went elsewhere. But those case histories, I thought, I can't believe that she would put these in here as her case histories. Well, yeah, there's a lot of quacks out there. But in this situation, the cure that I'm going to talk about is not as easy as giving up cornflakes. But it works. I want to talk this morning to broken people. Broken from many different situations and circumstances. The title of the message is For Broken People Only. If you're not broken, if you've not come to that place in your life, if you've never been broken, if you're still the wild stallion with all your self-will and all your self-confidence and all of your ambitions, I cannot help you. This message is not for you. Someday, if you hit rock bottom, maybe this message will help you. But if you're still full of vigor and all the things that the young stallions are full of, I can't help you. There's something that a young stallion has to experience before he can be a very useful creature. Mm-hmm. He must be broken.
Right.
But when you are broken, like these people were, what then? What then? You see, until they got broke, we read, they were religious, but they were smoke in God's nose. They came before Him with their feasts and all the things that they did, and God said, you just make me sick. Before this, but consider all the different people affected. There were the guilty perpetrators of evil, false prophets and priests and idolaters. There were the deceived followers of error, carried along by the crowd in their own foolishness and lust. Then there was the grieved minority, watching in horror as their society provoked God to His face. The grieved minority were also carried away to Babylon. That's probably who wrote Psalm 137. Then we have the children. The children, the victims of a wicked nation under the wrath of God. The wrath of God fell nationally, just like the wrath of God fell on the human race collectively, corporately, due to Adam's fall. So, in a sense, yes, the nation of Israel had to be broken because God said, I'm going to purge out your dross. Yeah. Well, when you purge out the dross, everything goes in the cauldron, the good and the bad. Right. But the whole, everybody has to be in the crucible to get the bad off and bring the good forth as gold. Last week, Philip spoke of the blessing and the cursing God offered Israel. The curses of Deuteronomy. We talked about the fact that national curses and blessings come in a long wavelength. But that inside there are personal, individual curses and blessings. But what about the godly man at this stage of the game? What about the godly, the grieved minority, when the wrath of God falls and a nation is brought low? Consider the righteous living in the time of Jeremiah during the Babylonian captivity. And what about those who repent of their sins, but then realize they're in a tangled web? There's a pile of wreckage behind them and a pile of repercussions ahead of them. What about the youth who looks ahead and sees what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw? What about Joseph in his circumstances? Consider even Moses coming to the understanding of the truth in his circumstances and what that meant. He probably thought, this is a bad situation. This is a hopeless situation that I'm in. And the more he knew and the more he understood, the more hard and hopeless it probably seemed. Consider the Jewish believer who knew that Jesus was the Messiah but would be rejected by his family, kicked out of the synagogue. And consider those today who come to the truth, but their family is Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Roman Catholic, even Protestant, Baptist, Mennonite, or just godless. They know that following truth without compromise is going to bring division, mm-hmm. misunderstandings, tears, pain, and maybe even death. There are a number of ways in life to come to a place of brokenness. To come to a place in life where you feel like you're up against a wall. Is it hopeless? Well, these people were about as broken and hopeless as anybody can get. An incredibly powerful and ruthless pagan, idolatrous nation had come in and mercilessly slaughtered, abused, dashed their little ones against the pavement. They can't, you can't haul little ones into captivity. You just dispose of them. That's what they did. Yeah. And then you haul away the ones that are too old to be any good. You dispose of them. The ones that are sick, you dispose of them. You pick out the ones you want, and you lead them on a forced march to Babylon. Slaves. Hopeless situation, is it not? What is your Babylon? What has you in bondage? I want you to listen to the lesson that these people learned. They have gone through it. Those who lived through it. Those who were the godly minority who lived through it. Those who were the sinners who were broken and repentant and went through it. Regardless of the circumstance, there was a lesson that they learned. And they learned it through this cauldron. They learned a recipe for victory even in the worst circumstances. And turn, if you would, to Psalm 126. In Psalm 126, they are writing after they have gotten through this. And they're looking back and they're sharing a testimony of what they learned. Okay? Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like men that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4, I believe, is a remembrance of their prayers. A rehearsal of their prayers. While they were in Babylon, while they were hopeless, they said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now, if you've ever been to the south in that area, the south of that area, you'll find that it is a barren and dry desert. But in that barren and dry desert, they have what are called wadis. They are ravines. They are dry ravines. That look like they've never seen a drop of water in ages. But when there's heavy rains, those ravines suddenly become rivers. And just as the looking at a dry wadi, it looks hopeless. Could that ever be a river? How could that ever be a river? God can turn it into a river. And they said, oh God, turn again our captivity. Help us in this situation. Just with the miraculous power that turns those wadis into rivers. And then this is what they learned. Verse 5, listen to what they learned. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, listen to me. The Jews always spoke principles by way of allegorical expressions like this. Okay? The farmer who's facing drought, who's had a number of years of drought, his family's on the verge of starvation. It looks hopeless, but he has a little seed left. And as he goes out in the field with what he has, and he sows it, he's crying, he's praying that God would help his family survive and not starve. And as he sows in tears and prayer before God, God blesses God sends the rain. God sends the sunshine. And after a while, he comes back with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the allegory. This is the principle that the children of Israel learned in Babylon. What is it in your life right now that is holding you down? Are you under God's wrath? There are people in this world who are under God's wrath and they know it. They're broken. They feel like God has rejected them. They're like those people in Psalm 137. They are victims of circumstance or they're under God's wrath. The people in Babylon, there was a number of reasons why they were there. They may have been righteous, godly people in a wicked, ungodly nation, and they had to suffer along with it. That's a reality. They may have been victims of circumstance, but they were still captives. They were still broken. They were still weeping. Are you broken and discouraged? They said, "We hung our harps in the willow tree. We had no song. How can we sing the Lord's song in this situation?" They couldn't find a song. They couldn't praise God. They were weeping. Is your harp hung in the willow tree this morning? There are many people in this world who've hung up their harp. They've lost their song. They have nothing to sing about. Their life is a wreck. I talk to them now and then on the phone. What a mess. What a pile of wreckage behind, and what a pile of repercussions ahead of them. Because the seeds you sowed negatively don't just disappear. What is your Babylon? What is breaking your heart? I have for you this morning a sure cure. I have for you this morning the path back to God. I have for you this morning a recipe for victory, regardless of how negative and sad and destructive and hopeless your case may seem to you. I'm sure that those people, when they sat down there by the rivers in Babylon, having walked all the way from Jerusalem, I'm sure they felt like, "I don't really want to go on." In the curses of Deuteronomy, God said, in the morning you'll say, "I wish it was evening." Mm-hmm. And in the evening you'll say, "I wish it was morning." Israel thought, "Oh, that would never happen to us." Huh. It happened. Yeah. But they learned something. God did purge out all the idolatry. Israel never went back to idolatry after this. God purged out the transgressors. He wiped out the sinners. He purged a nation. Well, God always has a purpose. He always has something that he wants to accomplish, regardless of the suffering. But there was a lot of people in Babylon who felt like, "I didn't cause this." Well, no, you weren't in the garden. You didn't eat the apple either. Mm-hmm. I remember one of our children was quite young. We were talking about the garden and, you know, what happened there. And there, probably a five-year-old evaluation was, "They ate the wrong apple." It was so cute. The innocence. Yeah, they did. I didn't do it. But every bit of suffering, pain, and death on this planet is from that.
Right.
Okay? So you say, "Well, I'm broken. What are you going to do now?" Maybe you just found out that you got cancer. Maybe you just found out that your baby was born and it's crippled. Or maybe you lost a baby. Or maybe you lost a mate. There's people today in a puddle and don't know how to get up. Here's the recipe. Here's what these people learned that they have so graciously, by God's Spirit, passed on to us. is like this. He that goeth forth. That's the first part. No stopping, blaming, getting bitter, hardening your heart. It's not the answer. It's not going to help. When Paul was encouraging the Galatians to faithfulness, he said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Hosea, in prophesying to Israel, said, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Israel had sown bad seed. They had sown rebellion. They had sown pride, self-confidence. They had sown trespass. And they were reaping judgment. So how do we remedy that? He that goeth forth and weepeth. It requires the courage to get up and go on, and it requires a certain frame of mind. A result of brokenness. And I said this morning, if you've never been broken, if you've never come to a place of brokenness, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can't help you this morning with this message. This is for those who have come to places in their life where they have felt broken before God. They felt hopeless before God because they've realized, "Oh, wretched man that I am." They've realized they don't have what it takes to make life happen. They've come to a place where they've fallen before God and they realize, "God is my only hope in this situation." I'm talking to those people this morning. He that goeth forth and weepeth. All pride aside, broken before God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He's talking about mourning in godliness. Godly mourning. Godly brokenness. In Luke 6:21, he said a little differently. He said, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Well, he knows the principle. He knows the principle. But he said also, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." If you've not been broken, you will be broken. If you've not come to a place of brokenness, you will come there. But hopefully, it'll be in this life, and hopefully, you will repent. And hopefully, you will remember what I'm telling you, so when that day comes, you will know what to do. Because there's a lot of people who, when they are broken, they harden themselves against God. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." Are you broken over your sin? What was the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter was restored and Judas went to perdition. When Peter realized he had failed his Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. Peter followed the principle that I'm sharing with you this morning. He didn't stop. He didn't run out and hang himself. Okay? He didn't get bitter. He didn't get angry. He wept. And it goes on. There's more to do than weep. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we find David in a broken state from his own sin. His own pride led him to a great fall. His own foolishness, yielding to temptation. But we find the words of a broken man who knew what to do in that state. He had been there before, other times not from his own doing, other times because of others' sin. He had a number of times when he was broken before God because of other people's sin. Now he's broken before God because of his own sin. Are you listening? You listening? Let's hear what he says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We find here, also in Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So here's the recipe. Regardless of how you got broken, regardless of how broken you are, regardless of where you're at, regardless of the circumstances, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, whether you're a victim or you're the villain, what are you going to do? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. You see, the going forth and the weeping is for a purpose.
Yes.
And the bearing precious seed is for a purpose. Because you realize, I got here by bearing seeds of rebellion and unrighteousness. I got in this situation because maybe somebody else sowed some wicked seed. I got here because there are laws of sowing and reaping. Oftentimes, we heard a testimony the other day of someone who developed a disease, and they went to the doctor. And the doctor offended them. He asked them a very pertinent question. But at first, it offended them. He said, how do you think you got in this condition? How do you think you got here? How do you think you contracted this disease? And in their mind, it's like, I'm a victim. I'm innocent. I'm a victim. This just happened to me. The doctor knew better. Okay? In that situation, that disease was probably due to habits over many years that led them into a state that was conducive for disease. It was not just... Now, in that situation, it was not just a genetic flaw. Even genetic flaws predispose us to certain things, but sometimes we can overcome those things, right, if we are fortifying our body against them. Okay? But it offended her. And it offends people today. Mm-hmm. When they come to the preacher and they're full of wreckage in their life, there's problems, there's challenges. I'm not being treated fair. I'm in a bad situation. And if the preacher were to say, what seeds did you sow that brought this harvest? They would be offended. Mm-hmm. No, they haven't been broken enough.
Right.
When you are thoroughly broken, you realize the seeds got me here, and seeds will get me out. But different seeds. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds. Seeds of repentance. Seeds of repentance. Not seeds of rebellion anymore. Not seeds of arrogance anymore. Not seeds of resistance anymore. Now there's seeds of humility. Now there's seeds of prayer. There's seeds of repentance. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. You can sit where you're at and be bitter at God. You can blame others. You can expect the whole world to revolve around your bad situation. But God says this in Deuteronomy 30, after all the cursing came upon them, He said, and it shall come to pass, 30 verse 1, when all these things are come upon thee. If you want to read what all those things were, read the last few chapters. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. But God knew that they were eventually going to bring it all upon them. But all these things that come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Call it to mind. How did I get here? What got me in this situation? And shalt return unto the Lord thy God. You know, in Sunday school we said that one of the hardest things about healing a cripple in spiritual life is getting them to understand that they are a cripple. Well, you can't return unto the Lord until you realize, oh, I've backslid. Mm-hmm. I've grown cold. My prayer life isn't what it ought to be. I'm not walking with God. I'm not broken before God. I'm not humble before God. I'm not yielded to God. I'm not seeking His face. I'm not seeking His will. You've got to come to an understanding. You've got to bring it to mind and return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will He fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and He will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the seeds of repentance, seeds of prayer. Turn to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked on unto him and were enlightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young bullocks do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry. That's a reality.
Yes.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The last few verses there, and this whole psalm is messianic, but the last few verses about the Lord keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken, is referring to Christ. Applied to Christ directly by John. And then it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's a direct reference to AD 70. Jesus said, when you see the Jerusalem compassed with armies, the desolation, no, the desolation thereof is nigh. The righteous cry, yes, and the righteous are in trouble, yes. But if he's of a broken heart, if he will go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, there is a promise of God that he will no doubt come back with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
We need to sow those precious seeds, the seeds of study and humble acknowledgement of the truth. Precious seeds of prayerful study to know the truth. In Exodus 33:13, Moses is praying. He says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. As a teenager, I read that and underlined it in my Bible. Show me thy way that I may know thee. That's some of those precious seeds. Once you've been broken, you go forth. This is not a quick fix. It's not a give up your cornflakes and you'll be all right. It's not a, well, he didn't show up again, he must have been cured. No, this is a reality.
Yes.
Okay? This is something that you can do regardless of who you are, where you're at, and what you're facing. He that goeth forth with a broken and a contrite heart, bearing precious seeds of repentance, prayer, wanting to know God, a noble Berean searching the scriptures to know God's way. Show me thy way that I may know thee. That's the cry of this broken righteous. When the righteous cry, this is what they're crying. Show me thy way that I may know thee. The seeds of faithfulness and obedience. God has a plan and a program. You got to get in that plan and program. That's God's plan. I read in Isaiah, the same book where God pronounced a judgment, he said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. Because ultimately, that's the goal.
Right.
Ultimately, the goal is to break us like that wild stallion. to purge out self-confidence and pride, everything that would keep us from humbly yielding to God, everything that would keep us from breaking at God's feet and laying ourselves at God's feet and being willing to hear, being willing to say, show me thy way that I may know thee. Everything that gets in the way of that, God wants to purge out. So whether you're breaking and your brokenness is due to something you did, due to circumstances, due to something Adam and Eve did, that part of it is irrelevant. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
That's the goal of all suffering. The goal of all pain. The goal of the death that came by sin was to lead us to repentance and redemption. Haggai 1:4 said to Israel, after they came back from Babylon, Haggai said this, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So Israel had been carried away. They learned their lesson. They came back. God, they said, we were like them that dreamed. This was like a dream. God turned our captivity. Cyrus said, go back and build your city. Go back and build your temple. Can you believe it? But after they were back there for a short while, it wasn't quite as easy as they thought it would be. A lot easier living in Babylon, but it was still tough. And so they left off to build the temple, just focusing on building their own houses. But you see, part of bearing precious seed is getting in line with God's program.
Yeah.
And so Haggai said to them, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house, the temple, lie waste? Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. In Hebrews 6:12, the apostle exhorts those who had come to the Messiah. He says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He that goeth forth and weepeth, he that goeth forth with that broken and contrite heart, bearing precious seed. That's the key. The seed that God says is precious shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Those precious seeds, bearing precious seed, the part of God's promise. God has a promise. But you've got to bear the precious seed. You've got to go forth. You can't sit and mope. You can't sit and blame. You've got to go forth. You've got to go forth with weeping, with a broken heart. You've got to bear precious seed. That means God's plan, God's church order, proper home order, godly raising and educating of children. That means proper dress, honest living, working the program, contending for the faith, doing it God's way. That's why you had to be broken to begin with, because it wasn't being done God's way.
Right.
So, all sin, all pain, all death, is to break us down and lead us to God.
Yes.
That's the purpose. God's not just an angry, mean God. But God allows heartache and pain and suffering from many different quarters, hoping that we will go forth with weeping and bear precious seed, so that, he says here, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm talking to the youth this morning. There's a lot of youth here and abroad. Life is uncertain. There's a lot of young people and older people I talked to, they had a bad childhood. Maybe you've had drug addiction. Maybe a young person out there is going to hear this sermon. It's going to go on the World Wide Web. Maybe you feel like there is no hope for you. Life is aimless. God says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is a promise, it's a recipe, it's a plan that will not fail.
That's right.
But you can see you've got to work the plan. I'm talking to the noble Berean who's reading and studying his Bible and realizing what it's going to cost him to follow the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to a pastor who is burdened and discouraged. I'm talking to a father. Maybe you've lost your job. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Maybe you've lost a son or daughter. I'm talking to a mother. Maybe you've lost your mate. Maybe your husband was a soldier and he died on the battlefield, or maybe he died in a job-related accident. Maybe he forsook you and left you and the children. There are so many avenues where pain can come into our lives. Life is frail. We are vulnerable not only to the sins of others, but to our own sins. The repercussions of my sin and the repercussions of other sins affect us. And we may come to a place where life just doesn't seem worth living. I may be talking this morning to a sinner. You failed God, you ruined your testimony, you lost your credibility. Have you gone out and wept bitterly? That's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The seeds of repentance. There's something to do. You're not going to get a harvest. You're not going to change the circumstances by sitting there. You need to go forth. You need to weep. And you need to bear precious seed. You need to do what you know God wants you to do. You need to get in His program. You need to get in His Word. You need to bear that seed. Start bearing that seed. And God says there will be a harvest. Shall doubtless come again. With rejoicing, with purpose, with productivity, bringing his sheaves, bringing the harvest with him. As a young man, there was a number of situations in my life where I didn't know how to go forward. And the Spirit of God seemed to impress upon my heart this promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He said, but it's not going to work. This is no hope. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? You say, Brother Mark, you don't know my situation. You don't know everything is bad. Everything is broken. Everything is wrecked. Do you believe God? God Almighty has stamped it on the foundation of the universe as a law, an irrevocable law. He has made a promise and put his name by it.
Yes.
He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless
yes.
come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Are you willing to claim that promise? Are you willing to get up from wherever you are, whoever you are? Are you willing to get up and go forth with your broken heart, crying to God, praying as you sow that seed, praying that God will make this seed grow, praying for the harvest, sowing the seeds that God says are precious? Are you willing to challenge God by taking Him at His word?
Amen.
I hope so. I hope so, and I hope that when the harvest comes, you'll let me know. Brother Mark, that sermon you preached, I decided to get up out of my puddle and go forth and bear precious seed. And guess what, Brother Mark? You were right. God's word is true. God is faithful.
Amen.
I hope that's what you will come and tell me in time to come. Let's stand together. As I said when I began, if you've never been broken, then you probably didn't get anything out of this sermon. It's for broken people. The crippled man by the temple there knew he was crippled. That's why he could be healed. A lot of people don't know they're broken. When you come to the realization of your brokenness due to circumstances in life that are big enough to wake you up, don't forget the recipe. There's a recipe for broken people. There's a recipe for people who realize they're broken. There's a recipe for every situation that will not fail. Any thoughts before we go to prayer?
There were two thoughts came to my mind. One was when we're suffering because of somebody else's transgression.